Well, thank the Lord we can follow Him. Thank the Lord we can know the way that He takes. And thank God He's given us grace that we might take the way that He took and takes. So thank the Lord this morning for that. You know, I'd like to say today that I am thankful for responsibility. Have you ever been to a place where maybe people live and they have no responsibility whatsoever? Have you ever noticed the solemnness, the sadness, the lack of energy there? I am thankful for responsibility. Now, I don't enjoy too much of it. I don't really altogether thrive under overload, but I am glad for responsibility. And I am glad that in the kingdom of God, God chose to give man responsibility. And I'm glad that He gave us holy responsibilities. And we're going to read some this morning. I believe God gave us measured responsibilities. Now, I know there are some things that are, we might say, you don't measure. First commandment is this, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's an unmeasured responsibility. Absolutely everything has to be poured into God. But today I want us to talk about a little bit the things that the Lord does and gives us burdens for and responsibilities for, calls us to be trees of righteousness, expects us to be laborers in the vineyard and laborers with others in the vineyard, and how the Lord gives callings and gifts and responsibilities in measure, in respect to the person many times. I want to think about that a little bit. One of the things I have found about people, including myself, and this is ingrained in us, it's probably as natural to man as breathing is to man. I don't believe that's will be a overstatement. We have a way of measuring ourselves or gauging ourselves by others. And have many times have you seen children that maybe are being reprimanded try to get out of that reprimand by saying, well, so-and-so does it. And many of us as teenagers and those of us who have raised teenagers have heard them say, everybody's doing it. We can measure our success, we think we do anyway, by comparing it to someone else's life, what they've attained to. We can bring this over into spiritual realms. We can measure ourselves, engage ourselves based on historical evidence of someone or based on someone that we know personally. That's in man to do that. Comparing ourselves, looking at ourselves, judging ourselves, measuring ourselves by one another. I'm glad the Lord has something better for us than that. I'm glad He said that the Word of God is a lamp and the Word of God is a light. And I am glad that God has told us that the Holy Ghost would lead us into all truth. I'm glad that we can break the bands or the bonds of earthly thinking when we are immersed and possessed by the divine nature of Christ. I'm glad that we can have the mind of the Lord to be able to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. And I'm glad the Lord has warned us and also given us something better than to compare ourselves and measure ourselves among ourselves. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, they and the life of Christ, which we could say is the Word of God too, also, they're to be our guide. They're to be the plumb line that we measure by. The book and prophet of Amos said that the Lord will put a plumb line down to the earth. I believe that plumb line is Jesus or the Word, or the truth. And he said he wouldn't pass that way or wouldn't have to go around moving it around or reestablishing it. I want to say this morning, I believe it's very dangerous for you and me to use anything other than God's Word and God's Spirit as our measure. Measuring ourselves. Measuring how we handle our responsibility. Did you know that we can get under guilt complexes as Christians? We can think, I'm not doing enough. Or I'm not doing as much as so-and-so. You know, we can get ourselves in dangerous, discouraging places. It's dangerous to use anything other than our personal relationship with God through the Word and through the Spirit to judge how we are handling our responsibility. I want to read in scriptures I'm sure you've already thought of too. 2 Corinthians 10 and 12 through 14. And Paul used the word dare, or we cannot afford to do this. There's inherent dangers in it. Jesus said it this way, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. There is inherent dangers in what we're fixing to read here. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. Paul seemed to be informing us that it is dangerous for you and me to use any other guide than the Word and the Spirit, engaging our own life and engaging our responsibility to the Word of God. It seemed to me like Paul was saying he wasn't going to go outside the measure that was given to him. He wasn't going to go over into areas that God had not assigned to him. He was not going to be intimidated. He was not going to be provoked in comparing himself with someone else or what someone said or didn't say about him. He wasn't going to go beyond what the Lord had designated for him. Now, we don't want to fall into the trap of excuses and say the Lord hasn't told me. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm speaking about an honest relationship with God, where I read His Word and understand His command, that I'm in touch and possessed by His Holy Ghost, who is able to direct me and lead me in my responsibilities to Him, to the world, to the church, in whatever responsibilities there may be. I'm talking about a very responsible relationship with God, whereby we hear His voice and we do His command, but we dare not compare what I've been given or you've been given, or go beyond that and try to reach out into another's territory or be excited about someone else's work or actions and try to take that very same thing on. I think the excitement ought to say, Lord, I want to do better with what you've given me. I see brother so-and-so. I see sister so-and-so. I see this working so well. Lord, will you bless my effort in what you've given me to do? Think about it a little bit. It's dangerous to compare ourselves among ourselves because all we've got is the flesh for standard. That's not much, is it? Have you ever disappointed yourself? I have. Chances are then, if I've disappointed myself, it'd be a lot easier for me to disappoint somebody else. Consequently, if someone would be foolish enough to measure to whatever God has given me to do and say, I want to be just like that, I don't think that's happening. Well, you know what? They're going to first make a mistake. Secondly, they're going to take in my mistakes with their mistakes. And they're going to be worse off. So we need to understand that we don't want to boast outside of our area, if I can say it this way, of expertise or our area of calling. Stay in it. Be fruitful in it. Be diligent in it. And we're going to read some scriptures that will tell us that we have a grave responsibility to what God has given us. And let's read another scripture. Well, Paul said this too, 14th verse. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure. Have you ever tried to stretch and reach something? How did you feel? Did you feel comfortable? Did you feel sure of yourself? Stretching to reach a light bulb. Stretching to reach something. And how do you feel sometimes? A little shaky. And what's some things that maybe have happened to you? You've fallen. You've hurt yourself. You've embarrassed yourself. We need to be careful in this, and I sure hope this is not taken as to say not to be a challenge one to another. I'm not saying that at all. And I'm not trying to give any excuses for not doing anything. But I want to encourage this morning to take the promise, the burden, and the gift given to you and do all you possibly can to exercise that. Use the Word and the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God and your zeal and love for God and put yourself into it heartily. But be careful about stretching yourself. You know, it's fella gets to dabbling in a bunch of different things, and the first thing you know, you don't do any of them very well. So we don't want to stretch ourselves beyond measure. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. In the seventh and the eighth verse. But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. The measure of the gift of Christ. I believe a saved person is a saved person. I believe a sanctified person is a sanctified person. I don't want to in any way imply that there's degree of salvation, degree of sanctification, and one has more than the other. I don't believe that at all. But God does give gifts according to how He sees our weakened work, the circumstances we under, according to our own talents. In the parable of the talents, the husbandman gave varying degrees of gifts. They were all servants. They all had opportunities. He made no distinction between any hierarchy in them. He just gave different responsibilities. God has called you to salvation. You're saved. God has called you and you've been possessed of the Holy Ghost. You're sanctified. That's without measure. I believe that. I thank God when He sanctifies us, we are possessed of the Holy Ghost. It opens up the realm of the kingdom to us. But He comes as He wills, and He understands the needs, and He understands our abilities and our situations and where we are and who we are, our gifts, our callings, and He gives that out in measure. If this cup was brim full and it represented everything God is, yes, we say we have the Holy Ghost, we have God, and I don't want to go there, but I agree with that. But the gifts and the responsibilities and the duties, He gives you some, me some. He sheds them and spreads them abroad. And He led captivity. I believe that was you and me. We were the ones that were caught under Satan. And He gave gifts under the man. When I think of gifts, I think of the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's all by the grace of God, the gift. Eternal life is a gift. The talents that were given in, was it Luke, I believe, were gifts. And we transpose and translate those talents into whatever God may have bestowed upon you and me. The burdens, they're a gift from God. Our abilities, do we all have the same ability? No. Does that make my abilities less or more than yours? No. God gives abilities, natural, physical, mental, spiritual abilities, and they're gifts. I believe this. Gifts are given with expectations. We know that's true when the man came back and wanted to find out what had been done with the talents. We know that God is going to come back and look and see what we've done with what He's afforded us. There's expectations that we put them to use. Did you know a lot of times people can have the idea that if they didn't get the gift they liked or wanted, they're not responsible for it. We're responsible for what God gives us. And He's going to come back and judge us. He may put you in a place where it seems like there's little, if any, fruit coming out of that. And He may place another where the field was ripe. And it seems like everything they do is a blessing to God. He's not wanting me and you to lust after that. He's not wanting you and me to covet their gift. He's not wanting you and me to complain about the gift and the place He's put us in. He wants us to be right there when He comes. If it's 60, 30, or 100-fold, be right there when He comes. We have a, and God has, and we have as expectation, and we have a responsibility in the things that God grants us to bring glory to His name. Human endeavor will not bring glory to the name of the Lord. But it's when you and me take the cup, take the burden, take the responsibility, and labor as unto God, leave as a, in a sense the result to Him, not questioning, not envying, not wanting out of it, not saying, why did I get this one? But it's laboring unto God, letting Him be the judge, and my life and your life in that effort bringing glory to His name. They're given with an expectation that they bring glory back to Him. Never to exalt man. Never to lift man up to a place where, look what brother or sister so-and-so is doing. The little sister Wall up there in Four Corners, more than once she's met me at the back of the chapel and said, well, Brother Dixon, that was a good message. And I'd say, well, thank the Lord, Sister Wall. And she'd point up to heaven and she'd say, yes, we just got to give praise where praise is due. And that's the truth. If anything, saints, is accomplished out of your life or mine, to God be the glory. The gifts are given to edify the body. My gift, your gift, is to be for edification. It's to be for encouragement. It is to be to a aid and a help and a support. And I need to be careful how I administer my gift. My gift and your gift should not make saints feel worse. Sure, in preaching of the word, there will be the condemnation, if you will, even the reproof of the Holy Ghost. But it should be with hope, a way out, something better, a relief, a joy. We should always understand that the expectation of God, when He looks on you and me and He gives us gifts, it should be an edifying thing. It should be an encouragement. Let's go on. There's two truths I'd like for us to discuss briefly here. And if we're not careful, they can become misunderstood. they can become almost forgotten. In our zeal to do good, or in our to be good in our gift, or in our grumbling about the gift I have, we can sometimes misunderstand the intentions of God, the intentions of gifts. And I'm using the word gifts in the broadest sense you can imagine it, as far as something from God. Gifts of the Holy Ghost, it's spelled out, but more than that even, those burdens, those things that come from God and you know God visited you with. May be for you personally. It may be something that He wants you to do in His vineyard. It can be a myriad of things, and I would not even try to classify them as one or two. They're anything God has enabled you to have an opportunity to do. They're not always the same, and sometimes they're a lifetime gift. But there's something God has allowed in your life that you're able at that point and that time to do. We're not to compare how other people did it. We're not to compare if other people are doing it. We're not to compare if other people did it great or other people didn't do it so great. We're to go forth and do it as unto God. And we're to do it as servants with a hope of receiving not a reward of man, but a reward from our Heavenly Father. Over in 1 Corinthians 12, and 4 and 5. And maybe we'll just read down through the 7th. Now there are diversities of gifts. And please, will you allow me to use this gifts, as I said, very broad? There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, or to profit thereby, to be a true blessing to all who come in contact with that. The gifts, the callings, the burdens, the responsibilities that God give you must have the tenor and the Spirit of Christ. If they have the tenor or the Spirit or the effort of man, they're going to fall short of giving glory to God. Remember that. Now, this is no excuse. This is a challenge to us this morning to recognize that it is the Spirit of God that motivates us. It is the Spirit of God that leads us. It is the Spirit of God that qualifies us. And as He leads us, there will be differences of administration. There will be differences of how certain things operate. But the point of it, the motive of it, and the glory of it will all be of God. There are different of administrations, but there's just one Lord. How and where one administers their gift, it'll differ. We don't put ourselves in a box, do we? And we don't try to qualify how we do certain things by how others have done certain things. Well, sure, we look on how others did things. And if they had things in their life that were a blessing, there's nothing wrong with letting the Lord know that you admire that and you appreciate that and you're willing to incorporate that. But if it's not you, if it's not something the Lord has given you specifically to do it that way, there are differences of administration. And what you do will work with what others do if it's of the Lord. The point is to bring glory to God, to bring in the sheaves, to help and encourage the saints. And my burden and your burden, though the administration, the direction of it, the carrying it out, might seem rather opposite. But in the analysis in God's heaven, and in the work and the fruit it produces, it'll be of the same Spirit, and it'll be of the same Lord. I want to say this too. The visible amount of the fruit of our labor will differ. Here's a place that we want to not be discouraged in, but we want to be encouraged in. Sometimes we see others who have talents that are physically superior to mine or yours. And there comes an opportunity for you to use that ability or that talent. And instead of using it to the glory of God and say, Lord, here I am, send me, we say, but I can't do it like he can. Or I can't do it like she can. That's right, you can't. And God knew that, and what did God say? I want you to do it. That's our responsibility, saints. It's not to compare ourselves with those that's gone before us and say, I can't do it the way they did it. I can't teach a Sunday school class with the dynamics that so-and-so did it. I can't lead singing and keep everybody in perfect pitch and harmony like so-and-so did it. That's not the point at all, saints. It's the point the Lord said, do it. And that's our burden, see. But we're human. And God gives us a little leeway in there. I'm glad God's not so rigid that he forgets our frame. But you know, he wants us to overcome that kind of thinking. He wants us to rise above it. And the fruit will differ. And we're going to touch on that shortly. If I sow seeds in poor ground, though I nurture it and keep it the best of my ability, the fruit that comes out of that is going to be scarce. I'm talking about literally. If I go into the California Valley or the Willamette Valley in Oregon and I plant something and I nurture it, I'm probably going to get a bumper crop. And maybe I did more work on the barren ground. You see what I'm saying? Where we sow our seeds, where we do our labors, the fruit is going to vary there. And we get in the mistake of judging our effort and our productivity on outward things. And don't get me wrong, I do that too. The outward signs. But where we sow the seed is going to have a big bearing on how much fruit. We have to leave those things in the hand of the Lord. We cannot just say, well, it didn't bear fruit. How do we know? He said in one place they'll know there's been a prophet among them. You know, if I preached on amens, if preachers today said, well, I'm going to preach as long as I get rowdy amens, where do you think I'd be right now? I love you. I'm not a, you know. So I quit preaching because nobody says amen. Who am I hurting? I'm hurting me. And I'm the one that's going to have to stand before God and say, they didn't amen me enough, Lord. He said, what's that to you? He told Peter, what's that to you? You follow me. You just do what I told you to do. You think about old Ezekiel. He gave Ezekiel one of the hardest charges he ever gave anybody. And then he said, oh, by the way, Ezekiel, they're not going to listen to you. But I want you to go anyway. See? And I, please don't, I'm not fussing at you. I don't amen enough myself either. But you see what I'm saying? We cannot, better talk about myself than somebody else. We cannot judge the results always on things we see and hear with our natural man. If God called us saints, that ought to be the end of the matter. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. We all enjoy seeing fruit. We all enjoy seeing encouragement. But look to God for that as your primary source of it. And don't expect it to always come as a direct result of things you've labored in bringing forth the fruit you hoped for. Regrettably, they denied the Lord. Regrettably, they walk no more with him at times. So I'm thinking the results can really only be judged by God. Faith. Making your calling and your election sure and going forth and sowing the seed, plowing the earth, and doing what God asks you to do. Not for man's applause, not judging ourselves among ourselves, not saying he did it this way, I'm not getting the results, or vice versa, saying I'm doing it this way and he doesn't do it that way, why, he's wrong, or I'm doing more than he is and he's not doing enough, or he's doing way more than me and I'm not doing enough. That's not what God wants us to do. Who am I to judge another man's servant? To his own master he'll stand till he is fall. Our job is to take the cup and go with it as God has measured it out to us. And we'll have rewards in heaven. Here's part of our charge. In Philippians and 2 Timothy 4 and 5. 2 Timothy 4 and 5, Paul told Timothy this. Make full proof of your ministry. You know, saints, if we'll concentrate on that for ourselves, that's going to take away a lot of surmising. It's going to take away a lot of comparing. If we'll concentrate on what God's given me to do, what God's given you to do, and make full proof of that, that would settle a lot of things. That would keep down some bickering, maybe. I'm speaking general now. That would keep down some hurt feelings, and it would cut down on comparing. If we will decide from our heart that by the grace of God, I am going to be the best I can be. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. A doorkeeper, someone that opens the door, closes the door, makes sure the door is clean and the carpets, the threshold is free of clutter. Not much of a job. Take that job and do it to the best of your ability. He said, great is your reward in heaven. And what are we laboring for? You know, there's no little jobs that God gives. He gives them for a reason and He gives them for a purpose. And may God help us to make full proof of it. Concentrate on it. Pray about it. Like I said earlier, the Lord is full of variety. Look at the birds and look at the trees and look at the flowers. God is full of variety, so don't expect Him to just give you one gift and say, that's all I'll ever give you. Hey, He might change tomorrow and add some more to it. The circumstances in your neighborhood may change, and He needs somebody there. Oh, Stan's over there. So-and-so's over there. I'll get him. And be ready and make full proof of that thing. Over in Colossians, third chapter. Let's go there a moment. The 23rd verse and the 24th verse. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it vigorously. Do it hopefully. Do it with anticipation. Do it humbly. Do it with a great sense of responsibility and a great love for God and a great love for the kingdom. But do it as unto the Lord. Is everybody going to understand you? You can only wish that. Is everybody going to say, I agree with you 100% in what you're doing there? Oh, are you going to be totally understood? You can only wish you will be. But we know you won't. But we're serving the Lord God. Now, one of the things that happened to us is I'm going to prove what I'm doing is of God. There's those that don't agree with me. I'm going to prove it to them. That's the flesh. Do it as unto the Lord. If we're not understood by man, leave that with the Lord. Don't try to make somebody agree with you. Don't try to make somebody get on board with you. Just do it as unto the Lord. That's where our reward is. God on our side. And He's saying, you're doing exactly what I want you to do. Can we, and I don't mean this in a complacent way, But can we be satisfied with that? Because we know of the Lord is one that we're going to receive our reward. I want to read the parable of the sower. Pray for me. I'm trying to. That old clock just makes me nervous, and some of it's my fault, so I get too long-winded. But anyway, Matthew 13, the third verse. And he spake a parable unto them, Matthew 13 and 3. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell on stony ground, where there was not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. God wants, obviously, from this parable, God wants you and me to be the good ground, individually. He wants to sow a seed and it fall on me and you as an individual and find good ground. That fruit will come out of it. Obedience will come out of it. And that it'll be a glory to His holy name. Collectively, He wants the church to be the good ground. We're the pillar and the ground of the truth. We're the body of Christ. We are a light. We are a city. We are to be a glory to God. So, individually, He's looking for us to be good ground. Collectively, He's looking for the church to be part of or be that good ground. So we as members in particular, let's just be up and doing what God has given us. To the extent God has measured to us, to the extent that the seed, I know we can speak of the seed as the Word of God because Jesus said it was. And that brings forth salvation. But to the extent God talks with us and leads us and gives us gifts and measures to us responsibility, let's be good ground. Let's be what God wants us to be. Let's don't be one of these other grounds that are indifferent and other things. At the same time, let's go back to some of my thoughts here, that we don't want to go beyond our measure. We don't want to go beyond what God has given us. Have you ever seen someone in enthusiasm only jump on something, spiritually or physically, and what happens to them? After a while, you don't see them around anymore. You know, it can be a discouraging thing. It can be discouraging to the guy that got all excited, and then he kind of, oh man, this is working. I found out he didn't really have a burden, didn't have a calling, didn't really have something within him to say, regardless, rain or shine, I'm going to do it. Kind of wilts back. It can be a discouragement also to the person that he or she has vowed to help, and they say, well, man, I thought they were going to help me. It can be a discouragement there. We don't want to get caught up in enthusiasm that is not anointed of God. We want Holy Ghost enthusiasm. We want zeal from God. We want to be challenged from the inside out. And may I say, I want more of that. I think good ground desires that. Good ground wants to be challenged. Good ground wants to be tilled and stirred up and broke up and planted in and worked in. I think we ought to desire more of the heavenly gifts and the more of a burden. But that's going to go along with how we consecrate it. Are we willing to consecrate? Are we willing to die out to self and certainty? Are we willing to put all on the altar? We can limit God in this too. We don't want to just say, and I don't want to leave the impression that God's just going to give us a certain measure. Folks, He may give us a certain measure because we have stopped our consecration. We have not put all on the altar. We have not allowed the Lord total access to our heart. Think about that. I thought of Brother Clifford used to tell us that as ministers we had no grace to give anyone, no heaven to take them to. And I absolutely believe that. The grace And the gifts are of God. Every man, the Bible said, shall bear his own burden. I want you to think about something a moment here. Have you ever tried to put, I have not really. Well, I take that back. Remember the little childhood blocks and little bench, work bench, pow, 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 that you get so tired of hearing sometime after a while? I kind of like to buy them for new children so mom and daddy have something in the house. The noise. You ever tried to put a square peg in a round hole? You've heard that saying, haven't you? Well, you and me know it won't fit. Oh, you can drive it in there, but it won't fit. It won't be what it's supposed to be. We got to bear our own burden. I've got to take the responsibility of it. I've got to accept it. And I've got to exercise it. I believe part of our rest is contingent on this. The rest of the Holy Ghost is in part contingent on me bearing my own burden. Peter was kind of in a tizzy there when he saw John. It seemed like John was getting favored. His rest was disturbed. When you and me try to impose our burden in an area that God has not placed it, it's not going to fit. And we're going to feel uncomfortable. And we're going to feel frustrated. We should feel frustrated because we're trying to put a square peg in a round hole. It won't fit. But if we bear our own burden and we labor as unto the Lord, that doesn't mean we don't challenge one another and encourage one another. But we bear our own burden. And if I'm bearing my burden to the Lord and I'm doing all He has shown me to do and I am happy in that, and I know He's given me certain things to do, and my expectations are in myself and of God, and there's a rest that goes along with that. Martha, you're cumbered about much in many things. Why isn't she helping, Lord? Why isn't she doing what? Tell her to come. I'm not going to do it, Martha. You see, when we try to impose on others our will, our way, our administration, it is frustrating to us. And it's also frustrating to others. God's a record keeper. Let's rest in that. And allow Him then also, as it said, some 30, 60, and 100. Let's remember this. Let's allow God to be the record keeper. I am convinced that we only see a part of the fruit of our life. I believe it's a possibility that we'd get big-headed. We'd boast. So God just every now and then gives us a little bit to kind of let us know, I'm with you. God's the record keeper, saints. Let's be content in that. Let's remember, too, that this word will fall on everything and everyone. And your labor and my labor will be received in a variety of manners and a variety of conditions. It'll be received according to this parable from outright rejection. It'll be received by short-term acceptance. It'll be received in conditional acceptance. And there will be some that will fully embrace the Word of God and my effort or your effort to fulfill our burden. Let's recognize that when I put my hand to something God's given me, I cannot judge it on total acceptance or bearing all the fruit I thought it ought to. There will be rejection, short-term acceptance, conditional acceptance, and there will be some who that gift will benefit. A couple of other scriptures I believe we're going to make. Ephesians 4 and 7. But unto every one of us was given grace Was the grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ? That's one scripture. Remember, God measures and God gives. And God understands the needs. And God takes our natural abilities and uses those. Romans 12 and 3. That we're not to think of himself or ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but we're to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith. My point is this. God in His mercy and in His wisdom did not give every man everything or every gift. In 2 Corinthians 10 and 13, Paul said, but we'll not glory beyond our measure. Stay within our measure. Stay within our sphere. That's not doing injustice to when Paul said, covet earnestly the best gift. Have a zeal and have a desire. Lord, I want to do more. Hunger and thirst after God's righteousness. And bring out some little points now. I jotted down here. Our duty is not to measure ourselves among or by ourselves. We know that. The Bible says that. Our duty is not to judge another person's service. I want to tell you something that you know well. When you start judging another person, you're going to put that person on the defensive. That's right. Very few of us will not make an excuse for why we're doing what we're being judged to do or not to do. It's very critical how we present encouragement and challenges and correction to one another. Our duty is not to judge another service. Our duty is to support and encourage others in their effort. I may not have that burden. One time in Shreveport, a lady had a burden. And it was a genuine burden to build a nice flower bed, something similar to what we have out here. Brother Clifford and no one else opposed it. So she and her husband and maybe one other, they got out and built that flower bed. It was nice. Had plants in it. Then she came back to the congregation and said, now y'all all got to tend it. It didn't work, folks. It didn't work. She couldn't, and good woman, love God, it's just an example. She couldn't give it to us. We couldn't take it. Oh, maybe once in a while somebody get out there and pull some paper out. But you can't give somebody your burden. You can't do it. And she was misguided in that. Thankfully, the ones that's had a burden for our flower bed has kept that burden. Praise God. But you see what I'm saying? Now here's the two things that came up out of that. The congregation, some, got just a little miffed at her. Yeah, we're human folks and we're saints. Because if they had something you want to do, and now you're telling us we got to do it. The second part was, she got a little disappointed herself because we wouldn't share in her burden. You see what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with a flower bed. Praise the Lord for it. But that was her burden. We, as saints, we want to encourage one another in our burdens, but not think that I'm going to measure your success by my burden. Our duty, and I believe this with all my heart, Jesus took the cup, passed it around and said, drink ye all of it. Folks, that's our duty, is to take the cup God gives us. Take the cup of His suffering, His sacrifice, of His holiness, and of His righteousness, of His truth, and drink it. drink it all. Without question, and accept what the Lord gives us in that cup. Do it heartily. Do it graciously, knowing that it's in the Lord, in Him alone, that we'll receive our reward. It's going to be God who's going to say, well done. And that's really, God help me to get my ears tuned for that. People will not always say, well done. People will not always know. Neither should people always know what you've done for God. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand did. Vice versa. If I'm supposed to keep it that close, there's things I'm to do for God that you never will know about. And vice versa. I don't want to go to you and say, look what I did for God today. That's my reward. God help us to have a reward that says, well done, by the words of, by Jesus' own voice. Good ground will be responsible and responsive to the will of the Lord. Remember that. The result, two other points, and I'll be through here. The results the good ground produces will vary and be subjective in two ways. And don't get disappointed. Isn't there a song that someone wrote, misunderstood, the Savior of sinners? Went on down a little bit longer and said, but He'll understand. Praise God, He will understand and say, well done. We don't measure ourselves among ourselves because it's not wise. We don't do it for the applause of man because that's fickle, folks, up and down. And we're not always going to be agreed with, and everybody's not going to see it. There's going to be many things you and me do for God that no one will ever know. And that's, as I said earlier, that's the way it ought to stay. But the results that the good ground produced, you remember it was 30, 60, 100 in the illustration? It's going to be subjective to two things. One is going to depend on us entirely. It's going to depend on the degree of obedience within oneself. If I am going to bring forth from myself good fruit and fruitful living, the number one responsibility is to myself. I've got to be sold out for God. I cannot expect to bring forth good fruit if I am not totally given over to God. So bearing fruit 30, 60, 100 fold in the good ground is still subjective to obedience. That's in my part. See what I hope you understand what I'm saying. If I'm not obedient in something, short of sin even, if I'm not obedient in something, God's obligation to bless that is not there. If I go beyond my measure, God's not obligated to bless that. If I try to impose my burden on someone else, God's not responsible to bless that. But if I am honest and true and faithful and obeying God with all my heart and all my mind and all my soul, He's responsible to that. So it's subjective to whether I am in obedience or not. That's whether I can bring forth fruit or not. Number two, the results the good ground produces will also be subjective to the results will vary when we use our gifts to encourage, to win souls, to warn souls. Remember that. The results will vary. Then the results will not only be the measure of our effort. The first one I'm talking about is me and God. Totally. Everybody else, not considered, me and God. My devotion, my obedience to Him. That's going to bear on what kind of fruit I bear. The second one, though, involves the ground or the other people or people we minister to. Then the results will not only be measured by our efforts, but on the response and the ground of those we minister to. Don't be discouraged.
when you pour your heart out and it's not accepted. If you've done it as unto the Lord, you will receive your reward, whether it was accepted or whether it was rejected. And we can't blame ourselves, and we can't blame the church or measure ourselves by some other standard. The fruitfulness of our life is subjective to the ground we're sowing on. If you try to help someone that won't be helped, you'll get your reward. If you've been gracious and kind and loved your enemy and they don't respond in kind, you will get your reward. And God will bless that. If we're going to judge it by I did everything I know to do to make peace with that man or that woman, I baked them a cake, cut the yard, painted their house, and they still are mad at me. That's looking at it from the outside. They're still angry with me. That's not the reward, folks, we've got to look for. You see, we did right, and God accepted it, but the ground that we sowed it on rejected it. That's going to hurt what looks like our fruit. Somebody else may testify, oh, I had an enemy, and I did so-and-so and apologized, and they embraced me, and somebody else may say something, and here I am. Whew. I did all of that, and he's still mad at me. Was I unfruitful? No, I wasn't unfruitful. The ground would not receive. The ground will not always receive Jesus Christ. Jesus went about doing good. Did all the ground receive it? The fishes and loaves they took in readily. But when the hard saying of drink my blood and eat my flesh came, not many walked with him. They said, this is a hard saying. But Jesus had his reward. So don't judge ourselves, and don't judge yourselves among ourselves. And don't put up a higher expectation than you're able to attain to. Don't take it your responsibility when the world goes to hell. I hope that doesn't sound bad. Do your best. Try your hardest. Pray your most fervent prayers. Sacrifice, fast, do all you know to do. But you haven't failed. You haven't failed if they decide to go to hell. It depends on the ground. If they repent and are baptized and are saved and you walk hand in hand through life as brethren, you get a double reward, you might say. But the reward we want, folks, is for hearing him say, well done. You took your gift, you took your calling, you took your burden, and you utilized it, you used it. And you labored as unto me. And he said this, be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing. Folks, when you and me don't see the results we want, don't be weary. Where are you looking for the results at? It's only natural, and we should look for results with our eyes, our ears. There's nothing wrong with that. But we've got to look a notch higher, too. And we've got to look for God. To God. Be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. So let's not faint. Let's not compare ourselves among ourselves. Let's take the cup. Let's take what God's given us and do it heartily as unto the Lord. Not measuring ourselves among ourselves, but walking honestly. Oh, we could preach a long time on that. Walk in honestly in our relationship with God, doing what He asks us, when He asks us, and leaving the results with Him. You pray for me.